Okay. I think I'm spoiled. I'm used to having my own parking spot. So you're invited to another shul, you realize you have to look for parking. It's a very big pleasure and an honor to be here. Posen b'chvod achsanya. There are really, I guess, two achsanyas. First is the Aguda, and it's a very good pleasure. I've actually davened here once. I hid in the back, so people wouldn't ask me why I wasn't a shomrei. But there was a good reason for that at the time. But certainly the shul's reputation and influence on the community is widespread and well-deserved, both in terms of Kavanat Tefillah, Beis HaKnesses, and Talmud Torah, both of which, of course, are direct results of the inspiration of your Rav. And it's a great pleasure to be in the Aguda. And, of course, our second Achsani is Rabbi Frand. In abstention, I thank him very much for asking me to give the shir. I'll tell you a quick story that relates to this shir slot and the first time I met Rabbi Frand, which was my first Sunday in Baltimore. There was a bris of a member of our shul who was close with my friend and his family. And when I saw him, and I'd never met him before, I'd only seen his pictures in his world-famous shiurim, but I certainly listened to many tapes, many shiurim, and I was so overwhelmed that when I ran over to him and I met him and his wife, I told him, I feel as if I'm part of the family. I said, I remember when the computer ate your daughter's paper. Y'all, I assume you know the story. I said, you don't understand. At first, I embarrassed him and I apologized, but I said, you don't understand the koach that you have. I said, there are people around the world who feel like they know you. So to meet you as if I was, you know, so to speak, coming home. And Baruch Hashem, from that experience, Rabbi Frand and I developed a very nice relationship. And as so happens, this year inspired me. Because as some of you may know, during most of this past year, at 10:15 in our shul, we've had the exact same similar Steyer shir from 10:15 to 11 to do halachic themes on the parsha. And Rabbi Frand and I have compared and contrasted. There was at least one week where we spoke about the same topic. And actually, there's a few people who I know regularly come to this shir who then come to Shomrei. So yishar koach to them. You came to me this whole year, so I'm happy to come to you this week. It's a very, very big kavod for me to be able to have been asked by Rabbi Frand to speak here, and I thank you all for coming. The topic which I chose for this evening is the topic of Lo Sachmod. Just to briefly review the Psukim and Chumash, so the Eschanan, of course, has the second set of Dibros, the Dibros Shnios, and in Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud Ches, we are told, Lo Sachmod es Eishas Reyecha, Lo Sisava, Beis Reyecha, Sadehu, V'avodo, V'amoso, Shor, V'chamoso, V'chol Eshel Reyecha. So if we were really sitting to be ma'ayin, especially in the parshanut of this pasuk, so there's a number of questions we could ask, which I don't want to address at all in the shir. The order of the things that are listed, why there are a number of specifics listed, and then at the end, b'chol asher l'ariyacha, everything your friend has, it's an obvious... If this would be in the Gemara would have asked, Maman of Shach, if you tell me b'chol asher l'ariyacha, so why do you need to be a mefarat at the first few? There are questions to be asked. In particular, one which relates to the contrast of, or the comparison, I guess, if you will, which is in the Dibros Rishonos, in the first of the Dibros, which of course are in Yisro, in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yedalid, there we have the following pasuk: Lo Sachmo Beis Reacha, Lo Sachmo Eishes Reacha, Ve'avado V'amaso V'shara V'chamor V'chol Eshar Reacha. So first of all, there's a little bit of a switch in the order, which those sensitive to Bali Kriya will notice, also not my topic. But perhaps the most dramatic change, which I do want to address, at least not from a Mefarshei Chumash or a why in the Tamei HaMitzvos perspective, but perhaps if there's a halachic significance to that, and that is the fact that we have a tremendous chiddush in our parsha, which is the chiddush of the word Lo Sisaveh. Now, if you'd ask me to translate them, and we'll get to exactly what even chivud means momentarily, but just based on our general familiarity with either Chumash or Hebrew, so I would have assumed, not being an expert, at least academically expert in either, that I would assume that more or less they're synonyms. And they both mean some kind of coveting or desire, chimud, taiva, lo sisaveh, lo sachmod. But of course that begs the question, and that doesn't help, that begs the question. So if they are synonyms, A, why need both? And if for whatever reason there's a need for lo sachmod and lo sisaveh, why is that in Parshas Vayeschanan and not in Parshas Yisro? So we will not answer all of those questions, but just in terms of reading Pashup Shat and Chumash, You need to be sensitive. Again, I had a Rebbe who once said the difference between Bekiyus and Iyun is Bekiyus is where you raise the questions. Iyun is where you try to answer them. So the chiddush of that statement is that in Bekiyus you're supposed to try to raise questions also. It's not supposed to just be davening up Sukkim or davening up Gemara. You have to be sensitive to when we read even Sukkim. And just when we read these Sukkim, these questions should immediately jump off the page. In terms of what is the halachic significance, if there is any, to Los Aveh, so that I hope to address as part of the shir. But just as I say, in terms of even Chumash Taich Vert, as one of my Rebbeim would have said, so that is just things that we should be conscious of immediately. A rare treat or pleasure, if you will, it's not so common, but it's certainly therefore worth acknowledging when it does exist, that we have in this week's sugya, this mitzvah, is that it's not too often that you have what we'll call in the yeshivas a chakira, or an analysis, a lamdash, a question in a mitzvah. It's not too often you have an explicit formulation in a rishon ever. And very often and we'll be doing a lot of this tonight, we're inferring based on a psak, what does that mean that he holds? Some are more mukhrach, some are more speculative, but when you get a rishon, it gives you a real formulation, you know, that's what you underline, that's what you highlight, but those don't come around every day. What is even rarer is to find, and not uncommon, not unheard of, but definitely rare, is to have a sugya in which we will see, I hope to demonstrate, a very real live major chakira and machlokas, rishona, machrona, with nafkaminas, etc., which has as perhaps its earliest root a parish on Chumash. And of all parshanim, an Ibn Ezra. Now, if I would have been standing here on Parshas Yisro and told you I was speaking about Losach mode and mentioned an Ibn Ezra, many of you would have been smiling because you would have known which Ibn Ezra I was referring to. And since I know the minig in the shir is that Rabbi Franz ends with a little chumash, so perhaps for the chumash or hashkafa, we'll make reference to the Yisro Ibn Ezra. But what is not as well known is that the Ibn Ezra on the Eschanan, on this pasuk again of Losach mode, here decides to tell us that the lashon, what does chimud mean? So maybe you know we've cheated because we've been raised to generally, you know, what do they call it in English? Thou shalt not covet. We have some general sense of what chimud means, or at least what losachmud means. But no one knew that in the time of the Ibn Ezra. There was a mesorah, I assume halachically perhaps what losachmud meant. But Ibn Ezra very much kedarka wants to know pshat. What does the word mean? So here, instead of typically the Ibn Ezra telling us this is what the word means, period, the Ibn Ezra says you could explain or you could understand chimud as a pshat in words in one of two ways. In other words, if it would just have been a Rosh Shiva, it would have said in the Kenklerin, but it's an Ibn Ezra on Chumash, it's an astounding thing. And what does he say? Listen carefully. The Ibn Ezra says there's two different possibilities to what chimud means. Lo sachman, just what do the words mean? So the first thing the Ibn Ezra says is perhaps what it means is extortion. I somehow intimidate you, or I force you, cajole you, to sell me your item. I'm buying it. I'm not stealing it. But it was done under duress. It wasn't like you had a for sale sign out. And it wasn't even, perhaps, that I just knocked on the door and said, by the way, are you interested in selling? No, I may have knocked on the door, and you said no. And I said, are you sure? And then I came back, and then I sent you mailings, and then I called you, and then I shepherded you, and then maybe I even got in your face a little bit. Says the Ibn Ezra, that could be one possibility. Maybe that's what Losachman means, some kind of extortion. However, the Ibn Ezra says there's another possibility, which has nothing to do with that. It says perhaps it means, and this is, I think, how we more commonly translate it, perhaps it means desire or craving. It has nothing to do with getting in your face, bullying you, extorting you, intimidating you. Just the very act that I am chomeid, that I desire, I am desirous of what you have, perhaps that is already the violation of losachmud. This is, again, it's an important marmakum to know, and shortly, through Gemaras and Rishonim and Piskei Halacha, I'd like to demonstrate the very real machlokes in halachic, concrete terms about these two perspectives. But another, if you will, also not unheard of, but not as common as perhaps one would have hoped or thought, another rare treasure in this sugya is that even in some of the Mefarshei Chumash, not again, not dealing with the taich and the words, that was Ibn Ezra, we're moving beyond that now, but still, not Rishonim al Hashas, Rishonim on Chumash, we also have a little bit of an indication, again, perhaps, of these two possibilities. What does Losachmod mean? Does Losachmod very much action-oriented, but again, it's this type of inappropriate action. I'm intimidating you to try to get you to sell me the thing, because I very much want it, of course, but that's not the Isser.
the Isra is the way I go ahead and get it from you?
Or perhaps is the Isra just the Chimud Belev, just the Machshava? Again, two ideas that are already hinted at by the Ibn Ezra. So for example, the Ramban al HaTorah on Parshas Yisro identifies Lo Sachmod literally, mamish, as Gzela. The Ramban is basically saying, you know, where is Gzela in the Gzela? How could Gzela not be? After all, you all know that Lo Signov is not stealing. Lo Signov is kidnapping. So where is stealing in the Aseret Dibro, such a central idea? So Ibn Ezra says, when he's giving you a summary of the Dibros, at the end, what's the last one he calls it? Gzela. He's literally identifying Lo Sachmod and Gzela. Now this is an astounding thing, because presumably, again, although we'll have to see this as a machlokes, but until now at least, we're assuming, I think if I asked almost any of you, you would have told me, you would assume as well, that Lo Sachmod means that I paid for it. But the Ramban calls it Gzela. Moreover, the Sefer HaChinuch on our Parsha, that's a tough Tazayin, has a tremendous chiddush. You know that at the Sefer HaChinuch, at the end of his minyan, he tells you who is chayiv in these mitzvos. So first of all, he tells us that men and women are chayiv in Lo Sachmod. And then he tells us that it's also an obligation on non-Jews. He says the Sefer HaChinuch, where is Lo Sachmod, or for that matter, Lo Sesaveh, where is that in the Shev Mitzvot Bnei Noach? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, it's Mechlal Gzela. They're Chayavim in Gzela. So you see, already the Ramban al HaTorah, the Sefer HaChinuch, again, not in his halachic part of the Sefer HaChinuch, or at least in his the more details of the halacha, just in telling you who is Chayav, these seem to be going with what I would call the first approach hinted at already in the Ibn Ezra. However, if you look at the Smak, the Smak is the acronym for Sefer Mitzvos Katan. Moshe Makutsi, one of the later Balei Tosfos, wrote a minyan mitzvos. So the Smak divides up. We know the Rambam just has a list of Mitzvos Aseh and Los Aseh. The Chinuch goes off Seder Aparshios. The Smak divides up all mitzvos, leave aside the numerical order, but he has, in addition to the numbers, he has general categories. The categories are divided by the 7 days of the week. And each of the 7 days represent a certain overall theme. The Smak counts Lo Sachmod in Mitzvah Yutes, which is part of Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon in the Smak is mitzvahs that are Toli Belev. Now that's completely different than Gzela. Gzela is not at all Toli Belev. Gzela is getting the object inappropriately. This is nothing to do with the Chinuch. This is nothing to do with that Ramban al HaTorah. This is the second approach, if you will, in the Ibn Ezra. Additionally, in a place that you might not have otherwise looked, if you look at the Ramban, al HaTorah, again the Ramban, in the beginning of Kedoshim, he quotes a Medrash. Again, it's not a steer to what I told you a moment ago from the Ramban, because here he's quoting another source. But there the Ramban has a very fascinating Medrash, and he suggests, you know, that the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim is chock-filled with many very significant Yisodos Deka mitzvos. The Ramban there quotes a Medrash that says that each of those mitzvos that begin Parshas Kedoshim correspond respectively to each one of the different Asaras HaDibros. So what does the Medrash say? What corresponds to Lo Sachmod? No, Lo Sachmod is in the Asaras HaDibros. So which one of the opening psukim in Parshas Kedoshim does the Medrash say correlates to Lo Sachmod? V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. Listening? V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. Now what does that have to do with Gzela, extortion? The answer is it has absolutely nothing to do. What it is a mitzvah tali b'leiv. So these two ideas, and let's just, before we go further, let's just, again, we want to refine our formulations. What the question we want to ask about Lo Sachmod, again, it's hinted at in the Ibn Ezra, and all these are already Mefarshim and Chumash. Is Lo Sachmod some type of inappropriate way of acquiring an object? Inappropriate in one of two possible ways. Until now we've spoken about the fact, and it's a bigger chiddush this way, even though you paid for it, but maybe there's something inappropriate about it that smacks a little bit of gzela. Or perhaps we'll see according to some Rishonim it may apply when you're not paying for it. Of course that will beg the question, what if anything is the difference between Lo Sachmod and gezel? But at least for now, just as we're outlining the options, that's all one option.
How is it possible? How do you apply Lo Sachmod, Ages Re'echa,
Of course not. Again, we're not saying that it would be identical. Again, let's put it this way. I'll ask you a better question. How could the Ramban identify lo sachmo in gzeila, assuming I paid for the object? So I haven't answered that question yet. But my question I do plan on answering. We'll have to see if I'll get to answer your question, but hopefully you'll get to it. Just to clarify, that's all one option. The second option, and we'll have to see whether this requires any type of action or not, but whatever it does or doesn't require, those are going to be details. The second understanding is of losach mode, and again, I think at least, again, it's hard to know, especially when you get to a certain age, whether you're thinking completely objectively or whether you're biased by all sorts of chumash teachers, elementary school teachers, rabbanim, rabbis, drushas. But the bottom line is, I think if I could try to be objective in some way or another, what I probably think many of us would have assumed when I started this year, that losach mode perhaps is more of a chimud, the way we would have perhaps understood it if we hadn't seen an Ibn Ezra who told us there's another way of understanding it, namely that you shouldn't covet kishmo kenu, meaning in your heart of hearts there's something inappropriate about wanting other people's things. Now, what, if anything, does that have to do with how I act on that? We haven't seen yet. But no matter what we'll say about answering that question, this second approach is saying that the isser is in the lev. As the smak said, l'sachmud is a mitzvah shebelev. Now, it's just worth noting, I'll give you one marmakam for this, and you can keep it in the back of your mind if you so wish for the rest of this year, but we will not be getting back to it, because given our time constraints, it'll make things too complicating. But in 1987, Mori Varabi, Rav Michal Rosenzweig, published an article in the Yeshiva Tartan Journal called Beis Yitzchak, in which he, in addition to mentioning these two options, suggested perhaps a third option. And the third option is really this second option, namely that it's a mitzvah tali v'leiv, but it's a subsect. Namely, until now, especially if you use the Ramban's comparison to Avihavta L'Recha Kamocha, what we're saying is someone who is chomed, who's desirous, right? Echveis, you, let's for argument's sake say, you drive by someone's house, and every single day you say, oh, I wish I had that house, I wish I had that house, I wish I drove that car, I wish I was married to that woman. You know, the Chumash said it, I'm not, you know, people do think these ways. This is inappropriate, it's a mita maguna. It's not right. It's not right. And that's clearly what the comparison to V'haf Recha Kamocha is saying. There's a certain general midah, derech eretz, that you should have. Rosenzweig suggested that there might be a nuance to this, which, so to speak, is the hybrid between the two positions, and that is that it could be that it is a mitzvah shebelev, but it could be that the mitzvah shebelev is connected to gezeila in the sense that it is a, what we would call a siyag d'oraisa. Namely, how are we going to make sure that you are not going to steal from someone? We tell you don't start thinking about and being jealous of everything that he has. Most people don't, you know, steal in a vacuum. They were covetous of whatever it was. So perhaps it's a mitzvah shebelev, but it's not completely a general midah derech eretz. It's connected to gzeila. Now, just to, so you should know, this is not farfing avek. There's this really grounds to say such a thing. If you look at, again, a mafarsh on Chumash, the Rabbeinu Bechai, on our parsha, so Rabbeinu Bechai says two things, which, again, without this middle position, l'chora don't work together. He says first, yedua ki chemda tluya belev. So he's, stop right there. Second approach, tali belev, like the smak. But then he continues and says, lo sachmo hi michlal gzela. But you can't do that. You can't cover our bases if the bases are contradictory. So l'chora, the answer is he's covering all bases because he has this third approach. It's a mitzvah shebelev, but it's not completely divorced from gzeila. It's a geder, a siyug from gzeila. We do have such concepts of siyug d'araisa. I'm sure my friend has talked about them. You may have heard about them in other shiurim that you've been to. Not for now. Leave that aside in the back of your mind. That I don't want to get into. For now, we will use a more simple question. Is it a action-oriented avera, which is somehow in the parsha? Again, it's not identical to gzeila. Perhaps it's a question, right? On things which you can't be over gzeila, karka and an exelis. Can you be over on lo sachmud for karka? The case I gave before, the house. So look, let's say the answer would be yes. I don't want to get into that at all. But let's say the answer would be yes. That wouldn't be a stira, because the point is we have this in other cases. I'm not saying it's identical necessarily to gzeila, although we will see some who may do say that. The point is, even if it's not identical, it's a cousin. It's part of the mishpacha of gzeila. And it's an action-oriented. However, the other approach is that no, it's not related at all. It's this general derech eretz, midos idea. you shouldn't be walking around thinking, and perhaps even more than that, very much desirous of other people's things. The answer is you're right about both. Okay? Why? We don't ask why questions. Think, I'm not trying to be pithy. The Griz has a piece in Hilchos Menachos in his Chiddushim on the Rambam, where it's either in Hilchos Menachos, or I believe it's based on a piece he has in Hilchos Menachos. In the back of the Griz there are letters. So someone wrote him a letter based on a Chiddush that he had about a detail in the Menachos. I forget, honestly, the details at this point, but it was a particular prat. X is a detail in Y, Z. So somebody asked him why. And he yells at the guy back in the letter. We don't ask why. We ask what. Now again, in the most extreme pure form, that is Brisker Torah right at you. But my point is that a little bit in terms of the incident, it's not a small detail mitzvah. It's one of the Aseret Dibros. It doesn't have to confine to other rules. The Aseret Dibros are the rules to a certain extent. The Enechanami, there are a different range of things, and a little bit I'll address your issue from a hashkafic perspective in the time we have at the end of this year, on the chumash part of this year, if you will. And until now, we're not doing chumash. We're doing halacha with chumash makoros. So now let's do halachic makoros. But even just to ease our transition, I'll start with what I would call, for lack of a better term, an unconventional makor, in the sense that it's not the kind of thing that we look at every sugya, but it happens to be in this sugya, it's a central tarsha of alpa makor, and that is the mechilta. The mechilta is a halachic medrash on Sefer Shmos. And the Mechilta in Parsha Yisro and Parsha Ches has the following question, which L'chaora is central to the Chakira we just mentioned. And one would have thought, based on what the Mechilta tells us, that the game is all over, we could go home, but we'll see momentarily that it won't be so simple. The Mechilta raises the question, which I alluded to before. Is it enough in Lo Sach mode to just want the object? Or do you actually have to do the Maisa of acquiring the object? Now, if you stop right now, just think of the question. In light of the chakir we raised, it seems like this havamina is exactly our question. So if that would be the case, then the maskana of the mechilta is very significant. The mechilta based on a gzeres hakasuv, understand, or not gzeres hakasuv, but one of the midos satars and yeshabahan, darshins, that lo sach mod requires a maisa. It's not enough to just drive by the house and say, I want it. You got to go do something about it. When you do something about it, lo sach mod. So if you stop there, bepashtus, it would appear that it is game, set, match. First side wins. It's not so simple. So first, let me show you that there is a range, I think at least four different approaches in Rishonim and Achronim, how to understand this mechilta. The pashtus of mechilta, which does seem to point in the direction that this is our first tzad, it's a maisa, it's part of the family of gzela, is a position taken by, among others, the Ravid, and Hilchos Gzela, Perak Aleph Halacha Tes, as well as it would appear in the Rambam in Hilchos Gzela. Again, it's in that same piece. I say it would appear because we'll see in a few minutes that there's a major machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, and in fact, they don't agree at all. But at least on this question, they agree. They take the mechilta bepashtus. When the mechilta says a maisa, that means that they assume you acquire the object. You don't just sit around thinking about it. You don't just try but fail. You try and you are successful. You get the object. This is the Rambam and Ravid and Chazgzei Lahalachatas. Let me read for you the Rambam. Klachomet avdo, o amaso, o beso, vekelev shachavero, o dover, shafilu lo, sheyiknu mimenu. Sheefshar lo, sheyiknu mimenu. You really want him to sell it to you. Vehitbir Allah, berein, vehipsir. You put all sorts of pressures on him that he should give it to you. Afilu with damim rabim, if you pay him a lot for it, it doesn't matter. Hare za over, velo isase, sheneemar, lo sachmod. Perak Aleph, halachates. The Ravid, also on this halacha tells us, refers to this as a maise gadol benetila sachefetz. He's again, this, the makor for both of this is the mechilta. The mechilta says you have to do a maise, you have to get the object. Okay, so certainly the Ravid, and we'll see perhaps if we would have stopped here, we would have thought the Rambam as well, they understand the mechilta bepashtus, and certainly for the Ravid, I would say that the implications which we should draw from that are again this first side in our chakira.
So you'll ask me, we mentioned the smak says explicitly that it's a mitzvah shebaleiv. He counts it in day yom rishon, which are his mitzvah shebaleiv. So how is he going to understand the mechilta? Mamash goes against him. So as you sometimes see, I had a Rebbe who once told me, pshat does not mean the simplest reading of the words. What does that mean? Everything has a context. He says, pshat is a function of context. Meaning, if you're a Rishon who comes into a particular Gemara with a pre-existing assumption about the sugya, so very often you'll reinterpret what would have been, quote, the simple reading. But if I say to you, you're not reading the simple words, you say, no, that is the simple words. Because what you think is the simple is impossible, because it's not true. So here also, the smak has to, the pashtus, re-understand the mechilta, because it's not true according to him. So what does the smak say? He adds a little bit. He says, when you over the maisa, because the mechilta does say you have to do a maisa, that is only the final stage of losach mode. But you already started being over, he said, once you were being chomeid belev. Now what if you are just chomeid belev and leave it at that? So perhaps that's what the mechilta was saying, then that's nothing. That's dvarim sheva avir. That's nothing. That's intangible. But if you actually go ahead and get it, then lemafreya, says the smak, that's just over on that maisa. You're over in all of the chimud that you had in your heart. So even though he agrees that the mechilta does mean you have to get it, but he somehow gets in his approach that it is chimud belev even then. Two more sources which significantly modify and re-understand and re-explain this mechilta are the following. There is a perush for the mechilta called the Birkas Netziv, written by the Netziv Mivolozhin. It's not one of his more well-known works. But you can buy a volume of Mechilta that has the Perish, has the Hagos of the Gra, and in the bottom it has the Birkas HaNetziv. So the Netziv at the end of this halacha has one sentence. And when she tells us, as he's explaining what does it mean when the Mechilta said you need to do a Maisa, he says, Kol Hishtadlus to get the item is the violation. So again, it's not like you were just sitting in your bed dreaming about it. You did do some actions, but it's, in a sense, it's a Chumrah. You're over well before you ever actually procured the object, and it would appear according to the Netziv, even if you never obtained the object. Now that is for sure not the Ravid, for sure not the Rambam, does not appear the Smak either. The Netziv's Chiddush is even if you never get it, but you wanted it and you tried to get it, therefore, you're over. Now this Lachora cannot be part of the family of Gzela, because you didn't even get it, according to him. The only possible pshat and this Netziv, it's a din in... Now you'll ask me if it's a din in Lev, so why does he require any Hishnadlus? We'll get to that in a moment. The final Maramakum is, there is a, getting back to our Chumash, that's the theme what we started with, Chumash Svarim. So there is a sefer called Moshev Zakenim on Chumash. The Moshev Zakenim is a collection of Perushim of the Bali Atosis. The Moshev Zakenim quotes someone, I'm not sure who it is, it's Rabbi Yossi Bash, Ben Shimon, Ben Shmu. Again, it's not the Rivash that we think of. He lived later. But I guess you'd pronounce it Rivash. I'm not sure who he was. It's quoted in this Bali Atosos, the Moshe Zakenim on Chumash. His line is as follows. When are you over Losach Mode? At the moment of Hotzi Chemdaso Befiv over Belosach Mode. If you just think about, I wish I could have his car, you're not over. The second you tell your friend or your wife, you know, that's a beautiful car Rick has. I wish I could have Rick's car. Boom! Says this Bali Atosfus, that's when you're over. Now one thing we know for sure, again, like in Netziv, that can't be a din in Gzela, because you didn't do anything, all you did is say you want it. L'chora, again, he has to be holding the other approach. So the question is, if you hold, it's just a din in the lave, so why do you need anything? Why do you need it, as he said, hoti b'lave, when the Netziv says some kind of a hishtadlus? The answer of l'chora is as follows. Apparently, we need some level of objective criterion. People have passing fancies all the time. I walk by a person and I, for a brief second, say, wow, that's a beautiful suit that he's wearing. All of a sudden, I'm over? You know, maybe in Nevardic. You know, I mean, like, but no one would say such a thing. So, and the Iduch, if I obsess and I stalk him and I get him to sell it to me, so that, you're obviously over. Where do you draw the line in the middle? We need an objective standard. Says the Netziv, you know what the objective standard is? You did a little hishtadlus. Not because the maisa is usur, but because by doing that hishtadlus, that's our objective criteria that tells us you've reached a za rama, you've gotten that level, That's how much chimud you had, you're willing to do something about it. Or if you ask this day in the Bali Yatosva, so they're even more machmir. You have to do something objective, just articulating it. Again, this is not the chelik musr, but certainly if this was a musr shir about the koach hadibur, this is a perfect makar, because we know this from many other makaros, as well as someone's tape just stopped, if anyone's interested. We know from other makaros, from other experiences that we have, there's eino doma thinking something to articulating it. It takes on a life of its own once it's articulated. That goes for good things and for bad things. Lo sachmor would be a bad example, but it's a phenomenon that is true for good things as well, and that would be l'chora an objective criteria. An area where this becomes fully expressed, and here's why I want to get back to the Rambam and the Ravid. I mentioned before that both the Rambam and the Ravid understand the mechilta kapashtus, that a maisa means you go out and you get the object from the person you were jealous of. So we said, if we would just stop there, they both agree, a very extreme approach of our first mahalach, it's a dinning zela. It's not so simple, certainly not in the Rambam, because of the following reasons. The Rambam tells us, I read a little bit of the Rambam before, I stopped on purpose, now I'll continue reading. What did the Rambam say right after right where I left off? The ein lokin alav zeh, no malchus. Why? Nei she'ein bo maisa. Frek deravid. This is a classic. Lo re'isi tema godol mizeh. Now, I don't know. The Ravid has so many harsh words to say for the Rambam all the way. You know, I don't know. I'm not an expert in Ravid to rate his criticisms. But this one he says is, I've never seen a bigger problem than this one. Heichen maisa godol minityasa chayfetz. In other words, what he's saying is, the mechilta. Forget the mechilta. A line before the Rambam himself says, you're only over if you do the maisa of nityasa chayfetz. In one halacha, the Rambam seems to be sosar himself. Taka, the Ravid may be right. Ein davar tema godol mizeh. How could the Rambam say it's a lav she'ein bo maisa? It's a lav where there's no action. Where the Rambam himself requires the action to be over, which is just a mechilta, b'pashtas. So first of all, you should know that even the Ravid holds there's no malchus. The Ravid holds it for a different reason. It's what he calls a lav shnit l'tashlumin. Implications of that we'll have to see in a moment. But even just as an aside, it's worth noting that very often, this is an important methodological point, when we're learning Be'idin with Lamdas, sometimes the difference between the two shitos is expressed because they have an argument in Psak. Yes, Malchus or no Malchus. But you can also learn a lot, even when people agree about the Psak. Both Rishonim here agree that there's no Malchus. It's what I call a theoretical Nafkamina. A Nafkamina will usually translate as a practical difference. This is a theoretical practical difference. They both agree there's no Malchus, but they give different reasons for the same din, and the different reasons are significant. The Rambam said, Lav Shein Bo Maisa. The Ravid says a different reason, Lav Shnit L'Tashlumin. What the implications are of that Ravid are, we'll see, I hope, in a few minutes. But how do we answer the Rambam? What kind of... So, in this piece I mentioned before from my Rebbe, he says an answer. He says that there, again, I think just... implied, again, not with any attribution or any mucker, but the truth is that when I was much younger, and I heard a shir on this, so at least the yeshivas, they used to say this over in the name of Reb Chaim. Now, I have been looking for years, I've never seen this ever quoted in Reb Chaim, and the fact that my Rebbe, when he quoted it, did not attribute to Reb Chaim, and he knows literally all of them by heart, Mestamba, it's not there. So we do have certain Reb Chaim as Baal Peh, but he knows those too. So I didn't have a chance to ask him if he's ever heard this, but what I remember when I was younger, they used to say this over in the yeshiva, in the name of Reb Chaim. And I think if you go to, that's just a general way it's known. But it could be that it's just a good brisk revort, and they put a name on it. I'm not sure that it's really true or not, but I believe that Reb Chaim would have liked this for it. Let's put it that way. He says the following. What was our chakir? Is it a din in the maisa, or is it a din in the lave, the chimud b'lave? So the Ravid holds an echanami, it's a din in the maisa. That's why he says it. You have to call it a lav shiyesh bo maisa. So what does the Rambam hold? I is there a maisa? L'chor, the Rambam holds as follows. In a more extreme way, it's the same thing I was alluding to before with the Netziv and the Das Sekeinim Yibali Atosus. And a chenami, it's a din in the shir and the chimud v'leiv. But what level of chimud are you chayev for? So the Netziv said, Hishtavlus. Das Sekeinim Yibali Atosus said, you articulate it. The Rambam apparently holds no. You have to be so obsessed, so jealous, you actually go out and get it. But even when you do that, it's not that the mice of getting the object is the iser. That is a shir. Not a kezias, but a shir. It's a, how much chimud? That's the shir. that you're so obsessed, you're so jealous, that you're willing to go out and actually get it. And this is, as I say, whether it is in the name of Chaim or not, the way they say it over, the name of Chaim is, that the Maisa is a sheer in the Chimud. So the truth is that that's about this famous Rambam, but we already laid the groundwork for this because we saw that this is Lachor, the explanation on the Netziv, the Baal Yatosus, now the Rambam. So all three of them are arguing, but they are arguing within one Mahalach. They all agree to Din in the Leiv, and they all agree that you can't just leave it to the heart because that's too subjective. We need to concretize. We're going to call somebody over a Losase Daraisa. We need to be able to point to when was he over. We can't just say, right, it's not a Musar Shir, it's a Din. So we need to have an objective definition. It's a three-way definition where to draw the line. But even the Rambam Lachora is still holding this Din in the Leiv, even though he himself says you need a Maisa. And I want to prove to you with one or two other examples that this is consistently a Machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid holds it is our first possibility, a din in the Maisa, it's Ke'en Agzela, to use Rabbeinu Bachai's term and others, and the Ramban Ala Torah, and the Rambam holds no, it's a din in the Machshava Balev, that you shouldn't be jealous, it's a Midah Ra'ah to be jealous, you need a Maisa, that's a concretization or a shear in the amount of Chimur. So one Machlokas we saw is about Malkus, different reasons for the Malkus, which I think is significant enough in its own right. Another machlokes, which we just alluded to. The Ravid holds, you go to the guy, you shepherd him day in, day out, finally says, here, $10 and it's yours. He sells it to you. So then you tell the rabbi, guess what? Look what I got him at Sia. And you know, it wasn't easy, you don't think, rabbi. Oh, I had to shepherd him for weeks. Rabbi holds his hand and says, my entire kinder, you just went over and said, Araisa. What does he have to do tshuva? Is it enough to just clap al chayit on Yom Kippur? Or does he have to return what he paid for? L'chori he'll get a refund, but still, does he have to return it? So, what's the halacha by gzela? There's a chiyav hashava. Without the chiyav hashava, there's no full tshuva. So the Ravid already told us that there is a chiyav hashava by Los Achmod. There's no Gemara, there's no Medrash. It's a chiddush of the Ravid. But it's the Ravid Lishitoso, because he just said it's a part of Gzela. So it's a part of Gzela, so it's not a Chiddush. I mean, it's a little bit of a Chiddush, but it's not an extraordinary Chiddush to apply the details of Gzela, namely, Chiv HaShav to Los Achmod. The Rambam never mentions it. And it is certainly the more reasonable understanding to assume that if the Rambam never mentions a Chiddush, which is not any Gemara or Medrash, it's because he doesn't hold of it. And it's likely he doesn't hold of it. It's not just reasonable, but it's likely and compelling he doesn't hold of it, because that would be the Rambam Lishitaso. According to the Rambam, this is a din in the lave. It has to do with taking something. That's a sheer in how much I was, how jealous I was. But an Isser Sheva lave has no shaykhas to Hashem as Zela. That's another example where this machlokas is expressed. Another area where there's a Rambam that's related is the question of whether someone who's over on Los Achmod becomes Pasul Le'edus. What do you think? You say no. Anyone say yes? I'll give you a hint. Somebody says yes. I would not ask that if I was going to leave you out to dry. Okay, somebody says it's a possibility. We can go on. Tosis and Sanhedrin and Daf Chof Heyom Adbeiz Dibur Maskel Me'ikara in the second answer assumes that someone is over in Los Achmod is Pasul Le'edus. On that same Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Tosis Rash Mishans also assumes that someone is over on Los Achmod is Pasul Le'edus. Yes, yes, yes. However, Tosis and Baba Kama Daf Samach Beis Amid Aleph, Dibra Maskel Chamsin argues and says, in a case where I shepherd you and I shepherd you, but you finally agreed and I paid you the money, I may be over Los Achmod Daraisa, but I am not Pasul Le'edus Midaraisa. I may be Midarabanan, but the Ikra question here is, are you, even though you're over Isra Daraisa, you're not Pasul Le'edus Midaraisa. Moreover, the Rambam, which is where I'm trying to go to now, not in Hilchos Gzela where he talks about this, the Rambam talks about Pasul Le'edus in Hilchos Eidus, Perek Yud. The Rambam, Hilchos Eidus, Perek Yud, Halacha Dalid, gives us a list of the mishpacha of Gzela, if you will, where people are over on our apostle Edus. And the Rambam says the case, which is known as a chamsan, where I chepper you into you giving me the object, I may pay you, I not pay you, but even if I don't pay you, the Rambam says is only posel edus mid rabbanon, but dafka not mid araisa. So the answer is why. So the question is why. So you could say whatever the answer is, what's that got to do with the shir we've had until now? But I'll prove it to you that this is direct outgrowth of the Rambam shita hilchos gzela. Because in the beginning of the Rambam in Edus Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, the Rambam tells us, do you ever wonder, I mean, there's a lot of Isurim out there, which ones make us over apostle Edus? And anyone who gets a kibud for a wedding should know this halacha. I was once, I'll tell you the truth, I've had many kibbutzim since I became a Rav, Baruch Hashem, only once, and it's a minog that a lot of people bring down, but it's not usually done, once in a recent wedding this summer, when I came up under the chuppah, the Masada Kedushin said to me, because it was another Rav who was also, he says, I assume you've been Maharher B'tshuva. Because the minog is, if you have one of those primary kibbutzim, you should be Maharher B'tshuva. Doesn't matter who the Rav is. No one's perfect. And it's a minog that Masada Kedushin remind or tell the... So it only happened to me once. And I said, yes. Okay. So what is, but Taka, what makes you posel edus? So the Rambam tells us there's two things. Any lo sase sheyesh bo malchus? So pause. Does lo sachmo meet the criteria? No. But that doesn't tell us anything because lo sachmo does not meet that criteria according to anyone. Even the Ravid, who's the biggest gzela person, even he holds there's no malchus. But what's the second criteria, says the Rambam? Again, I don't have this Rambam in front of me, so I'm just paraphrasing the Lashon. If you look at it, it's a very beautiful Lashon. Basically, the Rambam says, anything that has to do with stealing money. Again, because Edus is typically in a Bezdin, you don't want people testifying about a Dini Mamonis case who you don't want trustworthy with money. So now it makes perfect sense. Those Rishonim will hold that the Lo Sachmon is over Daraisa. They must hold... That is possible, mi edus midaraisa. They must hold that in one form or another, this is from the, what I'm calling, the mishpacha of gzela. Again, Alan is not identical to gzela, but it's the mishpacha of gzela. And therefore, to such an extreme, which, just to worth noting, I don't know if he agrees or not, the stump he doesn't say anything, even the Ravid doesn't go this far. The Ravid never says anything about possible edus. But these Bali Atosvis, who go so far as to say you're possible edus midaraisa, obviously they hold that it's from an Isra of Zela, because they can't be Paslim because of Malkus, because no one says there's Malkus. But the Rambam who holds that it's not Pasul Eidos Midaraisa, what's his shot? I, as the Ravid had accused him of, he does agree you have to take the object. The answer is, as we said before, even though the Rambam holds that you're only over if you get the object, that's not a Maisa B'Isser, again, Ke'ain, or from the Mishpacha of Zela, as the Ravid and others hold. Rather, the Rambam holds, as we saw also from the Netziv, that it is a shear in the amount of chimud that you had. One final thing with this will close the chelek halacha. And that is what I alluded to when I was reading the psukim at the beginning from our parsha. And that is the question of why all of a sudden in parshas Yeschanon is the Torah mechadesh that's not just lo sachmod, but it's also lo sisave. Now why there's the chiddush dafke in Yeschanon, not Yisro, I don't know the answer to. Maybe someone else does. I'd be actually very curious. I never really thought about it. And I'm not sure if there's a literature on that or not. But leave aside the why and which parsha. The question is, what is the significance of Lo Sisave? Is it a new Isser? So this is a Machlokas Rishonim. There are some Rishonim, including from Mefarshia Chumash, who basically say what we would call their synonyms. And there's no halachic significance whatsoever. Why? Look at the Bali Machshava, the Bali Drush, why it's used. But they say it's basically not, it's inconsequential. However, there are certain Monei HaMitzvot, certain Rishonim, who count two separate Loisaseis. Now obviously they don't think they're just synonyms, they don't think that they're inconsequential. If you hold there's two, what might be the Chilik? So in that same Bali Atosis on Chumash that I quoted before, so the first Mand Amar I quoted, I told you, I don't recognize the name, he's just one of the lesser known Bali Atosis. Earlier in that same piece, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. That's a name familiar to all of us. Rabbeinu Tam says that there's a major difference. If you intimidate the guy into giving you the object without even paying him for it, that's lo sachmod. But if you intimidate the guy into giving you the object, but at least you paid for it, you're still over on losis aveh. Could be the Kohen Rabbeinu Tam, our chakira is really two dinim in losach mod versus losis aveh. The losach mod is the din even that without paying it. That's the ke'en zela. Losis aveh, which perhaps even in his loshon is more suggestive of amida belev, is the din in the desire. Now what about those rishonim, and with this we'll close the chelak halacha, what's really fascinating is, if you have rishonim who quote two mitzvahs, then you could start seeing differences, or you could claim. That's what's so simple, because even the Rambam holds two mitzvahs, but that's interesting in its own right. Just to give you the flip side of that, and with this we'll close, what about rishonim who count only one mitzvah? So you have a number of different rishonim who only count one mitzvah, it's one mitzvah, but you have it from two opposite perspectives. The smak, who we quoted at the beginning of this year, mitzvah yutes, he says there's only one mitzvah, but he goes out of his way to say that both of those terms, that one mitzvah, is a mitzvah shevelev. He says it explicitly, and I also mentioned before, the fact that he counts it, again, the smak divides his whole sefer into 7 days. And each of the days, our group of mitzvos, are under a theme. The smak puts losach mod and losasava, the one mitzvah, in yom rishon, which is the yom of tali belev, mitzvah shel tali belev. So even though the smak only counts one mitzvah, the one is one that's tali belev, the second side in our chakira. What's so striking is what I haven't yet quoted, the smag, with the gimel, the sefer mitzvah's gadol. The smag also counts only one mitzvah, this is in losasei kuf nun ches, but the smag counts one mitzvah, which is Ke'en Gzela. Literally the opposite of the smak. Only one mitzvah, but it's the one mitzvah of the Gzela. The middle approach is Rabbeinu Tam, who held that there's two dinim, losach mod versus losasave. The smak is on one extreme, one mitzvah belev. The smak is on the other extreme, one mitzvah, a Ke'en Gzela. Again, there's more to say. I hope I wasn't rushing too much to be unclear, but to fulfill the minig of the shir, I wanted to mention some chumash, if you will, or we've already mentioned many chumash bekaros, but we did those from a halachic perspective. Let's take a few brief moments before Mariv to ponder what I think are very, very consequential and significant hashkafic lessons of this mitzvah of losach mod. So the most well-known, perhaps, hashkafa that people discuss, well, I take it back. Restart. A question which is asked by a number of mefarshim, rishonim, achronim, bali drush, is that if you look at the Aseres HaDibros, there seems to be something very incongruous. What did the Aseres HaDibros begin with? Two. What's bigger than Anochi? Right? This is everything rests and falls on Anochi. What are the other things? Lo Yiyeh and Shabbos, Kibra Ve'im, and Signa, Losinov, and Losinzach. I mean, these are major, Ben Ram Lamakom, and Ram Lachavero, major Yesoda stick of things. Then you finally get around to number 10. That's it? That's what the Aseres HaDibros ends on? Losachmud? I shouldn't want the other guy's donkey? That deserves to be up there with the other 9? I mean, if you didn't know, I just put a few of them in a pick out of the hat. Which one doesn't belong? Any thinking person would tell you Lo Sachmod. It's a pella, and Mefarshim are bothered by this. In general, what's it doing as part of the 10? In particular, we know many Mefarshim Chumash are very sensitive to the structure of the Aseres HaDibros. Some speak about parallels 1, 5, 2, 6, and even along that line, 1 in 10. If you think about it in those terms, it becomes more dramatic. The pair for Anochi, the single most dramatic, profound, significant thing perhaps in the whole Torah, is just Lo Sachmod. So L'chora, the answer is based on the other Eben Ezra. Anywhere else you go but tonight, the one, the Eben Ezra we spoke about in the Eschanan is the other Eben Ezra. From the perspective of tonight's year, where the Eben Ezra of the Eschanan has a lomdus shachakira, which you don't find every day in an Eben Ezra, what does chimud mean? Here we'll go to the other Eben Ezra, the more well-known one from Parshas Yisro, Lo Sachmod in the first Aseres HaDibros. Eben Ezra asked the famous question, how is it possible for the Torah to command us not to be chomeid? That's something that's emotional. Toliyim the lave. tell me to get up and daven, you can tell me. Tell me not to kill, you can tell me. But not to think, not to feel? Thank you. So, how is it possible? Says Ibn Ezra, Eina Chinami, it is possible, and I'll give you a mashal. Now, parenthetically, you know, in modern times, when we've got rid of the class system, and you know, what is it called? The American dream, and upward mobility. Says Ibn Ezra loses a tinge of its impact, but only a tinge. It's still very powerful. Says Ibn Ezra, you have a beautiful princess living in the castle. And you have a little pasha, the peasant boy. She's beautiful, she's rich, Allah Milas. Why wouldn't the peasant boy want to marry her? The answer is, says Ibn Ezra, it wouldn't even dawn on him. Would the peasant ever dream of marrying the princess? It's not in his realm of possibility. Ah, you'll say to a believer, he should be loving her. The answer is, things that are not shaykh are just not shaykh. Says Ibn Ezra, if you believe in Hashkacha Pratis, if you believe that Hashem controls things and gives you what you deserve and you what you deserve, so why this guy has a nicer car, should I be jealous? Ah, you'll say it's emotions, it's human, I can't help it. The answer is, you can help it. Because if you think not in terms of he has and I want, but you think in terms of what did Hashem give. And if you think in terms of what Hashem gave and what Hashem decided, then it's not even shaykh for me to covet. Hashem thought this was best for me, so he gave it to me. Hashem thought this was best for him, so he gave it to him. If you have that proper hashkafa, you can control your thoughts. Chora, this answers our question. Losachmod isn't the one that doesn't belong. It isn't the weak link of Aseres HaDibros, as we thought, as Mefarshim asked in their question. On the contrary, Losach Mod is one of the most ambitious elements in Kala Torah Kula, and it is the perfect complement to Anochi. What Losach Mod tells us is that what the Torah is about isn't just legislating actions. There's plenty of that too. But it's more ambitious than that. It's about molding the human personality. That's not just true for Losach Mod, but where we're taught that, the Binyan Av, so to speak, for Kala Torah Kula, of this concept, is Losach Mod. Even on something that we would have thought at first blush is so difficult, the Ibn Ezra teaches us, we can even control our desires on such a level. Because the Torah is not just about telling us what to do, it's also about who we are and what kind of people we are. It's not just enough to not do it, we shouldn't even desire to do it. It's supposed to transform who we are. And therefore, as I said, it's a perfect complement to Anochi. What Anochi is in the realm of belief, Losach Mod is in the realm of emotions. How do I believe? The answer is Anochi, you have to, and you can. How can I control my desire, my jealousy? Losach Mod, you have to, and you can. In a little bit different vein, in reference to a well-known medrash, I saw the following very beautiful idea brought down in the name of Rav Shneur Cutler Zatzal. The Medrash tells us, it's in a few different places, that the Rebbe Shlom went to the various different nations of the world and offered them the Torah before the Jewish people. So one group said, I can't do it. What machziv? Lo sirtzach, I can't do that, I want to kill. One says, oh, lo sinaf, that's for me. So therefore, Hashem gave it to the Jewish people. We said, na'asav v'nishma. As a number of others asked, so Shneur's not the first to ask the question, I don't understand. All of the things listed in that Medrash that the Goyim said we can't accept the Torah because of, are things that they're anyway chayiv in the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach. They're all in the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach. Why would they turn down the Torah? Because they can't deal with those mitzvahs if anyway they're chayiv in them in the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach. So Shneur answered the following. He says, there's a fundamental difference in the purpose. Not only because we have 613, they have seven. Even the seven that are overlapping, they have different goals. When it came to the Torah, when the Torah says, L'sirtzach, it's not just about not killing, it's about molding a Jewish personality such that killing is inconceivable. It's not just L'sinof. It's that adultery should be unfathomable to someone whose mind and heart is molded by the Torah HaKadosha. So if the Goyim already had a certain inclination, and more than inclination, their nature, their teva was this one for that, this one for that, then, and it wouldn't have been fair for Rabbi Shalom to say, go against how I made you. This is the teva that I made you. Now you're supposed to uproot that teva? The Baruch Shalom understood that this is too much. They can't do it. We understand. But when it comes to Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach, there it's not about molding a personality. Again, of course, I think it's obvious that the Torah would want that non-Jews should be good people too and should have good personalities too. But that's not what the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach are about. Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach are much more modest, not nearly as ambitious. The Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach are simply don't kill. Simply don't commit adultery, etc., etc. So even the same mitzvos that are in the Torah and the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach have two different roles. So what's the difference? Why couldn't the Goyim accept the Lasirtzach of the Torah, but they have to accept the Lasirtzach of the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach? They'll tell us, but their teva is for Ritzicha. The answer is, to go against your nature, that's impossible. But that's not what the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach are doing. The Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach are saying, "En Chanami, that's your teva. We're not telling you to change your teva. You can have the desire to be over Ritzicha, but have self-control." And it's the famous mushal that people use, and it's a very true mushal, a very important mushal. We now know scientifically that alcoholism can be a hereditary trait. People can be very wired for alcohol. It's without a doubt true. But that's not an excuse. You have to have self-control. Now, someone who has that great taiva, it'll be harder for them than it is for me. I have no interest in alcohol. It doesn't even appeal to me. Okay, so that's an easy one for me. I have other taivas. But alcohol is not a taiva for me. So someone has a taiva for alcohol, that's not an excuse to become an alcoholic. He has to control it. So that's what Rav Schneer said, that's the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach as well. Even if the Goyim have this tremendous desire, it doesn't matter. That's why they don't have to accept the Torah, which is trying to change who they are. But the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach, which are just about legislating behavior, so you have your desire, but control it. Again, the purpose, and with this we will close, it's important, Dvar Torah from Rav Schneer about the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach, but the most important thing, of course, is the first part that he said, which relates to what we said in the name of Ibn Ezra about Losach Mod, and that is what it teaches us about the Torah HaKadosha. And that is that Losach Mod is important to know. We spent 45 minutes learning the dinim of Losach Mod, but as important as the dinim are is the hashkaf of Losach Mod. Because Losach Mod is not just about Losach Mod. Losach Mod is a binyan av for the entire Seres HaDibros, which is why it's the culmination of the Seres HaDibros. Not as some say, it's almost disappointing and surprising it ends on a low note. On the contrary, it's a high note to end on Losach Mod, and more than being just the culmination of the Seres HaDibros, Losach Mod is a binyan av for understanding the role and the ambition that the entire Torah has for us, which is to not just legislate our behavior, but to transform who we are, to make our personalities fully expressive of the Tzelem Elokim, which was implanted in us. That is the ambition of the entire Torah, and the binyan av for that is Losach Mod, to transform who we are, not just what we do, nothing less. Good Shabbos to everyone.